We have an administration to take care of at this time. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here once again and see each of your smiling faces this day. And I know we got a lot of people with colds and flus and difficulties, but I'm thankful that we came anyway. And I ask that you would give our brother Gordon your careful and your prayerful attention this day. I feel like I get a double treat because he did Sunday school as well, and so now I get to hear probably not a continuation of that, but a new subject. But I always appreciate the enthusiasm that he brings. So give him your attention now. Gordon?
Thank you, Brother Andy. Good morning. Good morning. I want to greet each one of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those of you on live stream, I greet you as well. As I wait upon the Lord and I pray and I ask the Lord to kind of give me something, you know, what is it that you would have me to speak and preach? There's never a moment that ever a time that when I approach him in faith that he doesn't give me the thoughts and the understanding of the concept in which I should give to you and those that I minister to. And so I took a long walk still waiting, and then the Lord gave me this understanding, and so I'm going to give it to you this morning. I would like to start. It's found in the book of Genesis in the third chapter. And I'll be reading verse 22 here. I'm taking this all the way back here because there's a purpose behind it. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, you know, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." So we know that there was something that took place when they partook of that fruit that was forbidden at the time, that they were given an understanding of good and evil. And I want to talk a little bit about what that was. And I want to cross-reference it with the book of Moroni in the seventh chapter. And then I will elaborate a little bit here. In Moroni in the seventh chapter, in the 7th, in the 14th verse. We find these words: "For behold, the spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good and evil, good from evil." I should say it that way. "Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge, for everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade and to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and the gift of Christ." So what am I speaking? What is this thing? What was it that we read in Genesis and now we read in the book of Moroni as to what that is? It's the Holy Ghost. It's His Spirit. And we're not, you need to understand, it was given to everyone. It was there to help us to come to Christ. Help us to understand Christ. And to lead us to His perfect will in this life. This day of probation that we know that we have. So it's that Holy Ghost that I want to speak to you about, kind of give you some information and some of the things that it's supposed to do for us in our lives. Some of it to you is a refresher course. Some of it, I hope and pray, that if it's something that you haven't fully understood, that you might come to a better understanding of. So I want to take you back to, it's in the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to go to the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. 31st chapter of Jeremiah, and I'm going to be reading verses 31 through 33. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inwards parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Important thing to look at here, this is a prophecy that's coming through Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah had to suffer through the destruction of this, basically the seed of Judah, being carried off, the rest of the tribes of Israel at that time. And he prophesied of their destruction, and then he would live through it, and then now he also prophesied of things to come. And that's what we see here. And the important thing here, it says that there was going to be a new covenant that was going to be made. And in the Book of Mormon, we can read that when Christ came, he said he fulfilled that law, that old covenant. He fulfilled that. And that there was going to be a new covenant that he was going to establish. And what does this all have to do with the topic of the Holy Spirit? Well, in Jeremiah, the important thing here that you can underline, I will put my law in their inwards. Meaning that they were going to be able to have that Spirit, and it was going to be in them. Like in the old covenant, they had to, what? They had to receive it from the priests. It was all behind the veil, right? So they had to learn the law that way. Now, they say, well, Gordon, you just read in Genesis that everyone had that Spirit. That is true. That's true. The only way we can understand the things of God is by that Spirit. And we know in the Book of Mormon that they took their faith, like in the waters of Mormon, and took it to what? To the very end, where they received the Holy Ghost because of that faith. But the seed of Judah, they never took it that far. That's why you read at the end of Isaiah in the 66th chapter when he says, you built this temple, when are you going to build a temple for me, unto me? And Christ was speaking through his servant Isaiah that you were going to, that temple he wanted was to be this temple of clay. He wanted that relationship by way of his Spirit in the lives of his children, those who desired to follow him, those who wanted to be a part of him. And that's why Jeremiah said that. I'm going to put my law in their inwards. What a beautiful promise. It was going to be very special. Now we're going to look at some scriptures, how Christ fulfilled this prophecy in Jeremiah. In the book of Isaiah 55:1, it says, ho, remember this, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. What was he speaking of? He was speaking of those waters that would be the inflowing of the Spirit of God in their lives, fulfilling those words of Jeremiah. And so let's go over to the book of John in the 14th chapter. I'm going to read the 7th chapter first. John 7. And we're going to go over to here, verses 37 to 39. This is John 7, 37 to 39. And this will put some sense, some meaning to what I just read out of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. So it put clarity to the words that we found in Isaiah in the 55th chapter. What Isaiah was speaking to the children of Israel at that time. And then Jeremiah confirming that he was going to make that new covenant with them, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So if I read in earlier that his Spirit was to work with everyone to understand good and evil, what is the difference here? What are we talking about? What is the difference? Why is there something more? And there is. And I'm going to try and hopefully draw that so you can see it clearly, what the difference is between that Spirit working with every man, all his children, trying to draw them to his commandments, to him, by that understanding, and that this other thing that we see, when that individual will be able to have, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Something similar to like, at the waters of Mormon, you remember it says they'll speak in the tongues of angels. Why is that? Because of the gift of the Holy Ghost that was in them. They spoke of heavenly things that by way of the Spirit. So let's go to 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter. I chose this one over Matthew in the 5th chapter. You find this 3 Nephi 5. This is Christ, as we understand it, the Beatitudes. I'm going to read verse 53. In the book of Matthew, you can find the same words, but something left out in chapter 5, verse 6. But in verse 53, it says, "And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, that's what you find in your Bible. Now, let's see what they're going to be filled with. In the Book of Mormon, it says, "Filled with the Holy Ghost." And what a sad thing is that is missing out of that beautiful record. That had been removed for whatever reason, left out, dropped off. It brings more sense. It brings more completeness to what Christ was speaking to them at that time. Let's go to John in the 14th chapter. John 14, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, as we see the progression, as we read through the scripture, as that Spirit works with the individuals, as you have this basic understanding of what's good and evil, or you've been given that, you can reject it, and then it would have no part in you eventually, at some point in time. But everyone has that ability to be able to have that. Some follow it in their ignorance, not knowing where the source is, right? That's why you can look and find there's good people. They do good things. Every good thing comes from God. Okay? That's the source of it. That's the source of that Spirit that's working in them at that time. Okay? So, by this promise, if they listen to that inner thought, from that Spirit to do this is good, and they feel good, they're actually obeying the commandments of God in their ignorance. But God's blessing them in their life, right? So let's go to verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may," what? "Abide with you forever." Now, that comforter that he spoke of there, that Greek word, it is an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate. Okay, that's what that comforter, that word, that Greek word, that's what that means. That's what Christ was speaking of. Now, who was he talking to at this time? He was talking to his disciples. That's who he was talking to. When you read in the scriptures, it's very important to know who's talking, who are they talking to, and to kind of put all that together, because it helps you to understand those things a little bit more. Does it apply to us? Yes, it does. But in this instance, you need to understand who he's talking to. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world," what? "Cannot receive." So this is something that will be something that will abide with you, and the world can't receive it offhand. It can't just automatically come upon you, this particular portion of the Spirit of God that he's speaking of. It doesn't negate that Spirit working with everyone in their lives. But it is a specific thing that you need to understand what this is. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Fulfilling those words of Jeremiah, right? I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts. That same blessing is for us today. So, let's continue on here and see what... let's go to the book of Acts, the second chapter. Verse 38 to 39. Acts 2, 38 through 39. Now, this is at the day of Pentecost. All right? And so then Peter, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's that abiding comfort that Christ was speaking of. Because he had promised this to fall upon them. And it did. After his death and resurrection. Let's go to 3 Nephi in the 4th chapter. And verse 50. This is the promise that Christ gave them. Speaking of that abiding comforter. In verse 50, it's on page 628. And whoso cometh unto me, what? With a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. And so he's speaking of, there's a condition, a thing that we have to do that concerning baptism, but coming forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And really all those things work when you start reading the scripture, and especially the old, never discount the prophecies of the Old Testament. There is a lot of worth in there, a lot of value. It helps you to understand those things, and you see the consistency. Here we find in Isaiah 66, verse 2, for all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, what? Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Isn't that beautiful? I love it when those things come together. God knew what he was doing. God understood. And he prepared a way for us to have that beautiful gift and abiding comforter in our life. In the book of John, in the 14th chapter, he makes another statement that I want to kind of give you a little bit more understanding of what that means. In the 14th chapter of John, in the 18th verse, he says, Christ is saying this to his disciples now. He's talking to them. I want you to understand why he is talking to them. He is preparing for the time of his crucifixion. And he's speaking to his disciples and those who has followed him, but more importantly, his disciples. He's trying to prepare them for what's to take place because he knew it was going to be difficult for them and they didn't fully understand. And so he makes this statement, I will not leave you comfortless. And that word there, comfortless, that Greek word is orphanos. It's parentless, comfortless, fatherless. And bereaved. So he's trying to tell them, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to pray to the Father that he might give you another comforter to abide in your heart. That you could have that relationship with Jesus Christ, with him and with his Father. That you can walk on this earth in that relationship to help you in your life, to guide and direct you in your life's toils during the day of your probation. What a beautiful gift. What a marvelous thing God has done for us. He has not left us as an orphan. He's provided a way that we can be one with our God on a permanent basis. As a parent and guardian. So let's go to the 14th chapter, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will what? Keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That union, that marriage, that covenant, it becomes permanent. It's a covenant that God will make with those who come before him in a contrite spirit, in humility, laying down their sins, acknowledging their weaknesses in the flesh, and fulfilling the commandments through baptism and through the laying out of hands for that beautiful gift that the world cannot receive just because they want it. In Romans, in the 8th chapter, in Romans 8, verses 15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of the adoption. By taking on this spirit and receiving it, you become adopted. You become adopted of God. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We become a part of him. We're his child. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love the rest of his children anymore. But what does the scripture say concerning that? Those who are righteous are what? Favored of God. They receive his favor. And that favor is that beautiful gift to work in our lives for good. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What a beautiful gift. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, being known of him. He becomes our Father. In John, in the 14th chapter, again, read verses 25 through 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. This is the words of Christ. And he's talking to his disciples again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Again, fulfilling those beautiful words that we read in Jeremiah, I will write them in their hearts. Are they in your heart? Those of you that have made the covenant, are those words in your heart? Do they guide you this day in your decisions that you might be his children? It's important to understand that the Lord will not live in an unholy temple. And as in the book of Corinthians, it says, the temple of God is this body where his spirit would reside. And those things... We got it turned down? Okay. That his spirit has to work with us. And we have to listen to it. And we have to allow it to work in our lives. We can ignore it, just like in our own personal lives and in our relationships. The relationships that you want to keep, what do? Right? The young people texting, maybe phoning, whatever. You want to keep touch with them, right? You want to maintain that relationship with that individual. And you do it. Why? Because you want it. God wants that relationship with you. That's why he gave you, those of you that have received that beautiful gift, he gave it to you as that personal thing in you to avail at any moment of any day of your life. It's there. You're sleeping, it's there. When you're awake, it's there. All you have to do is avail yourself to it and exercise your faith in it and allow it to work in your heart to help you with those different decisions of your life, the things that you do in your life, how you conduct your life, in every aspect of your life. It's there for you as a parent, as a guardian, to help you, as a nurturer, right? Don't we do it with our children when they're little? Every aspect of her life is controlled by who? Either you or your husband, right? If you're not married, it's you. Every aspect of that child is under your care. And so it is with the Spirit of God. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It's important to understand. That's that workings of that Spirit in your life. Speaking to you of the things of God as a nurturer. Helping you to understand, like when you're thinking about doing something and all of a sudden there's that small voice say, well, do you really want to do that? And you kind of hesitate and you have a choice. Well, who's talking to me first? If you've exercised that spirit, you'll know who just said that to you. There shouldn't be any deception there. But if you don't, if you haven't exercised enough, then you would say, well, who's that? Is that Satan talking or is that the Spirit of God talking? And you have to question. You have to make that decision. But he's there to speak to you, to speak to your heart, to help you with that decision if we allow it. As that nurturer. Then if we go to Romans in the 8th chapter again, talks about a little bit more, verses 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also, what? Helpeth our infirmities, and that's weaknesses in the flesh, okay? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make it what? Intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints, according to the will of God. How many times have I myself thought of this in my own quiet time, and I've heard testimonies of it, where we think that our prayers don't go any further than the ceiling? When you think of that, when that comes to your mind, go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Isn't that that time? We're sitting there, we're going, I don't think the Lord hears my prayer. That's the very time. That Comforter, that Spirit, is doing what for us? What does the Scripture say? He's helping us in our weaknesses, our weak point in our life, to make that intercession for us. Groanings which we cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart, who is that? God the Father himself knows our hearts, our desires, our inability to express ourselves, whatever it might be. What is the mind of the Spirit? Because he maketh intercessions for the saints. According to who? To the will of God. For your benefit. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful promise he's given us. A beautiful gift. So the next time when you're in your room or your quiet place or whatever and you feel that way, I hope and pray that you remember Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26 and 27, and read it and be comforted, right? Absolutely. That's the beauty of it. He's there for you. Don't allow Satan to take that gift from you that God has given you, to separate you from your God. So when you read in the 14th chapter of John, verses 10 and 11, you find it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Do you believe it?" He said, I've done all things that the Father has commanded me to do. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very word's sake. He was trying to tell them. The Father was in him. That Spirit was in him. When he was in the flesh, he was a type. He was the forerunner for us in all things in the flesh. And that promise was to be given to us. And we can be one with our Father in that thing. So if the Father and the Son are one, then let's go to John, the 17th chapter, verses 21 through 23. This is the words of Christ as he was praying to his Father. Let's read verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." "And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made," what? "Perfect in one." In one thought, one action, in those things that God had so ordained for his children here on earth. "And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." So they would see what? By allowing that Spirit to work in our lives, don't we reflect the image of the Father and of the Son? By allowing that to work in our lives? And it proves to the world, what? That there is a God. And there is a Savior. And there's something more than what you understand in life that can help you in your life. There was that promise, greater works, John 14, 12 through 14, where it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." And then he's speaking. And greater works than these shall he do, because what? I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Those things, that those promise that comes by way of the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit, let's go to John, the 16th chapter. You notice it's all around 14 through 17. The 16th chapter of John, verses 14 and 15. This is what the Spirit will do. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show unto you all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Speaking of the Spirit of God, that it would glorify. It is there to glorify God. Your life is there to glorify God when you've taken on that covenant. And you can only do it by having that gift within your heart and exercising it and allowing it to work in your life for good, for all things. Then you find at the end in the spiritual gifts comes with, you can find it in Corinthians in the 12th chapter. Those are the things that, of that promise that God has given through that beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost to become one with God, to be identified, to have his signet. You remember in the Book of Mormon in the words of Alma, when he's, I think it was the words of Alma, but when he wanted to know and understand what would happen after this life. And when he fasted and prayed, it was given to him to know and understand that when our spirit left this body, it returned to the God who created it. And whatever spirit that was in possession of your body at that time would infill your spirit. So if you think of that, how do you want to present yourself to your Heavenly Father? With what spirit do you want to go to him with? Do you want to go with him with the spirit that has worked with you all your life after you made that commitment and covenant? To come before him and to acknowledge him as the Son of God? Or do you want to be before him with the spirit that overcomes you that is not his? Or it says in that same verses of scripture that then they are cast in outer darkness. It's important to understand the role that that spirit will play when we die as well. Because he says whatever spirit has possessed you at that time, you will carry it with you to the God who created you. And it will testify and witness to God who you are, if you're his or not. And that's important to understand. Those are the things that Christ was trying to teach and to preach to help his people to understand. So may God bless each one of you. Those of you that made the covenant, exercise that spirit that has been given to you. And those of you that have not made that covenant, come in humility, seeking God, that you might have that gift and to be counted his in the last day. May God bless you in those things.